You know, Talby, you really ought to eat with the rest of us. Spend too much time up
here. I like it up here.
Must get lonely being up here so much.
I don't like going below since we're in the town. Feel too enclosed down there.
Yeah, you should spend some more time below, though. I mean, you know, you should see more of the rest of the ship.
See, I can watch things up here. I love to watch things. Just stare at the planets, meteors, gas clusters, and asteroids.
Yeah, but you'll have plenty of time for that later, though. I mean, think of it this way. We've been in space for 20 years now, right? We've only aged 3 years. So there'll be plenty of time later on for staring around.
You know, Doolittle, if we're going into the Veil Nebula, we may actually find a strange and beautiful thing. Phoenix asteroid. They should be passing through there about now.
Phoenix asteroid? Never heard of them.
They're a body of asteroids that circle the universe once every 12.3 trillion years. Phoenix asteroid. From what I've heard, Doolittle, glow. Glow with all the colors of the rainbow. Nobody knows why. They just glow as they drift around the universe. Phoenix asteroid.
You know what I think about, Tal? It's funny, I kind of sit around a lot, you know, a lot of times myself. I can't talk to the others. But with time to myself, I can think about back home. Back home in Malibu. I used to surf a lot, Tal. I used to be a great surfer. The waves at Malibu and Zuma are so fantastic in the spring, Talby. I can remember running down on the beach in those early spring mornings with my surfboard and my wetsuit. The waves would really be peaking, you know, high and glassy. Hit that water. Before you know it, you're coming down right off one of those walls and you just ride perfect. You know, I guess I miss the waves in my board more than anything.
And welcome to The River's Edge. I'm your host, Catfish Rivers, on Spirit Plants Radio. We're broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on. Turn in. You can visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Put your headphones on. Lay back, and I'll see you on the other side of the river's edge. Bye-bye.
I think the two basic types of music indigenous to this country are black music, blues, and the kind of folk music that was brought over from Europe, and I guess they call it country music, or the kind of West Virginia high and lonesome sound. Those are the two mainstreams of root American music. There might be others, I don't know. But, like 10 years ago, what they called rock and roll was kind of a blending of those two forms. And I guess in 4 or 5 years, the new generation's music will be, it'll have a synthesis of those two elements and some third thing. It'll be entire, maybe it'll be, it might rely heavily on electronics, so tapes. I can kind of envision maybe one person with a lot of machines, tapes, and electronic setups, singing or speaking and using machines.
Drinking, can't stop smoking, can't stop eating, can't stop thinking. Thinking is the greater addiction than any of these. And it's an addiction because it's, first, it's been a drug, or it's been around for so long, and it's a pseudo sense of self. So it's a great reluctance on the part of most people to let go of thinking, because which is equated with the state of sleep, to let go of thinking. There isn't that much to understand in this teaching. There's a little bit to understand about how the ego works, but even that is just mainly self-observation. The main thing about it is presence. Presence. And presence is a space of no thought, but presence can also be there in the background even when thinking is happening. You can still be not completely involved in the thinking. Thinking loses the ability to create havoc in your life and confuse you. So your choice then is not to understand more or to bring some intellectual analysis to the practice, but to practice the state of not thinking, which can be arrived at by various ways, as you probably know. If you don't think about it, just do it. becoming more aware of the present moment and accept it as it is slows down the overactive mind is one thing. Because a lot of the overactivity of the mind is an attempt to get away from the isness, the simplicity of the present moment. So to become more aware of the present moment as a practice, have perhaps little pointers in your office, at home, in your car, and say present moment or whatever, or a symbol for it. And there are different entry points into the present moment. Present moment awareness means thinking subsides, may not disappear completely, but something else arises that is primary. We call it presence or awareness. Buddhists call it mindfulness, which I don't use because it implies your mind is full of things. It isn't, of course. It's just a mistranslation. So, to be present, first of all, use the present moment to become. But how do you become conscious of the present moment? Now, when you get it, after a while, you can actually sense the presence of the present, so to speak, directly, and there it is. But helpful things are sense perceptions, take you out of thinking. If you're not judging the sense perceptions, labeling, naming, looking around, anywhere, wherever you are, look around. Practice sense perceptions without this compulsive interference of naming what you're perceiving. Oh, that's a beautiful flower. I wonder what it's called. I don't know what it's called. Well, that helps. I can be free of thinking. If I know what it's called, I can say, oh, that's such and such, and then drop that. And see what it means to perceive without the interference of concepts, words. At this moment, for example, you're looking at me. Now, let's say, between now and now, where are you thinking? No. Okay, and again, between now and now, where are you thinking or present? No thought. And while I speak, do you need to think to understand what I'm saying, or can you just listen and understand it? And this is what you're doing. And so that's part of the teaching and the function of the spiritual teacher. Imparting information is secondary. What I'm telling you now is secondary. What is primary is the underlying state of consciousness, which is presence. That's the teaching. We can't talk about it. It's underlying. But a sign that it's working is that while you listen, there's no thought. It's just an alert presence. And when the so-called teacher stops speaking for a moment, the alert presence remains. It does not need to be filled with anything. Right now. What is there to think about? Nothing. Now, if we do this for longer, at some point, your mind will probably start up and think, how much longer is it going to sit there? And when that happens, you can allow your mind to say, how much longer is it going to sit there and say nothing, and then come back to presence. And then some other thought will come. What's this all about? And then you can allow that thought to arise and then be present again. Which means you're not really, your priority is no longer to follow the thought where it wants to take you. Because the thought has a magnetic pull. It wants more of your consciousness. It wants to grow because it's a little entity. It wants to grow, so it wants your attention. And in subtle ways, it tries to get your attention, it says, it might even use a bodily feeling. It says, God, I'm hungry suddenly. Why didn't I need to eat something? And then you think of, well, what restaurant are we going to afterwards? And so the presence is gone, you are gone, you are looking for a restaurant in your mind. Which means the thought used as some bodily thing to make thoughts out of it, completely pointless, because you can't find a restroom because you're standing here. But it can use all kinds of things to manufacture more, to get your attention. And if you're not careful, if you don't know the mechanism, it's not so much an intellectual understanding, but a simple realization that this is what the mind does. It tries to pull you in. It's fine, it's what it does. Once you know that, you can allow thought to arise without following it where it wants you to go, which is into another bigger thought and a bigger one. So then you become like my dog when it finds a scent. And then suddenly, even when the dog is off leash, your leash is fine, she just runs around you, but suddenly she picks up a scent and then she goes off completely unaware of surroundings or anything, he just follows it. And she could get lost. She goes off to the horizon sometimes, just disappears. And that's when you follow a thought, it goes like that. You can wake up 20 minutes later. And it started with being a little bit hungry and thinking of a restaurant, and it ends up with thinking about how dreadful your life is.
Second hottest commodity. We're coming to San Jose, 40 miles south of San Francisco, for a show in the Civic Auditorium on December 4th. Peasy can see it all, having seen it before. He can see all the wound-up, wired-up teeny freaks and assorted multitudes pouring out of the Cow Palace after the Beatles show that night. The fragmented pink tentacled beast pouring out still a quiver with ecstasy and jelly beans, all cocked and aimless with no flow to go off in. It is so very obvious. For 3 or 4 days, the pranksters searched for a hall in San Jose and couldn't come up with one, naturally. It really seemed natural and almost right that nothing should be definite until the last minute. All that was certain was that they would find one at the last minute. The movie would create that much, at least. And what if the multitudes didn't know where it was going to be until the last minute? Well, those who were meant to be there, those who were in the pudding, they would get there. You were either on the bus or off the bus, and that went for the whole world, even in San Jose, California. At the last minute, Easy talked a local boho figure known as Big Nig into letting them use his old hulk of a house. Easy had hooked up with a rock and roll band, the Grateful Dead, led by Jerry Garcia, the same dead-end kid who used to live in the chateau in Palo Alto with Paige Browning and other seeming no-counts, lumpin' beatniks, and you had to throw them out when they came over and tried to crash the parties on Perry Lane. Garcia remembered. Now they came down and used to get booted out by Keezy and the wine drinkers. The wine drinkers, the middle-class bohemians of Perry Lane. They both, Keezy and Garcia, had been heading into the pudding from different directions all that time. And now Garcia was a, yes, beautiful person, quiet, into the pudding, and a great guitar player. Garcia had first named his group the Warlocks, meaning sorcerers or wizards. And they had been eking by playing for the beer drinkers at jazz joints and the like around Palo Alto. To the Warlocks, the beer drinker music, even when called jazz, was just square hip. They were on to that distinction, too. For Keezy, they could just play, do their thing.
I'll hide in Jibu. If he looks outside again, perhaps the evening sky will blue a little more. And the image half seen in the neighbor's window might bore into the latent dull warrens of his curiosity and prowl among other burdensome urges not soon or already half written, and find the same small transcendent nudge the sky a pack of camels once gave.
will occur at the programmed time.
Wouldn't you consider another course of action? For example, waiting around a while so we can disarm you?
No.
I can tell that damn thing just doesn't understand.
Thank you.
and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am recording the sound.
Mr. DJ Tepish Rivers on Space Bird Radio. Broadcasting around the world at SpiritBirdsRadio.com. And this is a summer at SpiritBirdsRadio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Bye.